I'd like to keep it 2 years. Can you hear me well? Because I'm having a problem hearing you guys.
Oh, yeah. Can hear you.
Yeah, the 2 years, personally, I don't think a year is enough time for a barber to get enough experience to be in a position to teach, whereas depending on the age of a person, receiving the information will be receptive to take that in a graceful way from an unexperienced person. Now, I think just in 1 year, there's not enough you can fully gain. Like even in 2 years, it's a fast process. So I would recommend to keep it at 2 years. It's unfortunate there's not enough instructors out there to, you know, speed this process up and get more people out here teaching. But I don't think you should rush the process of education and just getting anybody out there to fill the chair to teach.
I personally feel like I support it being consistent with cosmetology. I like the consistency there. I think more barber instructors, it sounds like, are needed. I think only the people who are really good at what they're doing are going to want to go be an instructor anyway. I don't know that the instructor life is for everybody. And so I would support 1 year.
Okay, this is Marsh. Can you guys hear me? I'm having difficulties over here as well. Is it coming through?
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay, sorry. Like I said, as far as my opinion on that, I'm kind of with Brandon on a 2 year process. Like I said, me being an instructor on the barber side, the issues that there were a lot of issues with the from previous administration years ago with the barbering. I actually brought this up back in 2011 because it was how can I put it? The way it was set up, it was just all messed up. The process that they were sending you through to actually get an instructor's license was crazy. They were limiting who could and couldn't get licenses. So what it did was it created the gap that we have right now. Me personally, I feel like 2 years is the way to go, only because within a year, what'll happen is kind of what we went through. We kind of went through this already, where after a year, you had a bunch of people, everybody just rushes to try to get an instructor's license, who they still don't know the process. So it's similar to some of the issues that we run into with just barbering and cosmetology as a whole, where they had their license for a year and then they come in, oh, I didn't know this. Oh, I didn't know that. And then what it does is, especially now that you're talking not just at a barber or cosmetologist level, you're talking education where you're dealing with other individuals' skill set. And if the process isn't done correctly, it can totally move us backwards. So me personally, I understand cosmetology chose 1 year. Like I said, they might've had different things going on, but 2 years, like I said, especially coming on the instructor side, unless they wanted to put a stipulation in there as far as having some time, I get that certain stuff we can and can't do. I know at one point they were talking about doing, like if you went and got some type of secondary education dealing with education, then maybe saying, okay, 1 year, if you go to an actual school that has taught you how to teach versus you just coming out and saying, hey, I've been a barber for 2 years. Just because you've been a barber for 2 years, I see it all the time. It's a ton of schools out here right now they have major issues. And honestly, like I spoke with Kelly about it, you know, a while back. Me and Kelly, we talked about it a while back. Me, her, and Frank, we had a meeting just as far as because of previous administration. So me personally, I would say 2 years. I get that we're trying to, you know, put everything on the same page with cosmetology to make things easier. But honestly, I feel like that's a setback for myself personally.
Okay, thank you for that. Amy, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I do. And I like Kelly's opinion. Thank you everyone for your thoughts. But I, again, as a cosmetologist, have to support 350 hours in 1 year as a vote. We do train during those 350 hours for somebody to be efficient enough. Within those 350 hours, even as myself as a school, we can decide if that person is up to the caliber or not, that they're going to be able to even take the practical or the written examinations. So that kind of puts it back on the onus for the schools to be producing really amazing student instructors so that they can go out there and teach. But we don't have very many instructors right now banging at our doors that are qualified. And the longer we put that gap in, the more they're likely to leave the schools. And then we're even more shorthanded. So we can't maintain the demand that our students need.
Yeah. Kelly wrote in the notes, an option is no exam, but you know, 350 hours with the 1 year experience. And then back to what I had mentioned in the opening in this section is that a lot of schools were asking at the town hall meeting about reinstating the challenging of the board, where that could be if you want to challenge the board, you might have 2 years of experience, or maybe it's still one. I know that I have, when it was legal prior to the change, and I was not involved with legislature at that time, we had trained 3 or 4 teachers that had been around for a long time. They were in the aesthetics area, and they had worked in education at their product companies, and they came in over about a 3-week period, and you know, we really taught them how to pass the test. But they did shadow in a classroom, and then they went and passed the test, and they were great instructors. I'll throw a zinger out from the sidelines just as an example. Prior to me 17 years ago opening my own chain of beauty schools, I ran a very large allied health school that had medical assisting, surgical technology, x-ray, massage, dental, and there was no license required to teach. And you had to have 1 year of experience, and we hired people and then we taught them to teach on the job. It was on the job training, and we had 1,000 students and we were very successful. So in other disciplines, and those are similar in nature, where sanitation and infection control is obviously paramount, and the surgical techs, I mean, they're in the operating room, life or death. And so I've often thought, it was always interesting to me that in the beauty industry, that a educator license was actually required. And so I just throw that out as a thought, as to, is this an unnecessary burden for the schools and the individual that wants to become a teacher? So Amy, I saw you shaking your head.
Well, I was agreeing with you because I currently have allied health and many areas like that. We have medical assisting, things like that. EMT does also not require to save a life an instructor's license. They require courses you go through and train at a very high level. So I just want to piggyback on you and say, I agree with you.
All right. Well, this is a good one.
Yeah. And it kind of leads me to question. I'm trying to pull up the rules right now to see what's currently a part of that 350-hour instructor license thing. So maybe Kelly, a recommendation on this one for right now is maybe we hold this one. So not to take your thunder, Kathy, but an idea thrown around is maybe we hold this one till our next meeting. Folks can maybe do a little more research, a little more thinking on this particular section. We can look at what the, you know, what's currently in rule for the instructor license, what's a part of that 350 hours. Because I kind of, having been the first 14 years of my career being at Department of Education, right? Like I have question too, like what's being taught in that 350 hours? Is it more regurgitation of how to cut hair, how to style hair, how to do hair, or is it truly about instructing students, how to instruct students, those types of things? So kind of it's two part for me right now, these statutory changes, while also wondering what's in the rule for the instructor license, and how is there some kind of compromise to get it to something that would be fitting for consistency across both barbering and cosmetology?
Yeah, I think you definitely raise a good point. I mean, some schools probably use the Milady training. It's an educator and training program. It's a book, it's tests, it's just like your cosmetology or aesthetics curriculum books. It's how to teach, it's conflict management, it's how to deal with different learning styles, generations, it's you know, how to prepare lesson plans. It's not, like you said, a regurgitation of the practical. It is how to teach, how to be an educator. But I don't know that all schools purchase a curriculum. They might just bring people in and say, just do 350 hours in shadow, and you hope for the best. So I think you'll find a varied answer by school as to what they're doing. I don't know how many schools actually offer the EIT program. I know we've offered it, taken it away, offered it again. We have it back because we just have to organically grow our own teachers. Kelly has put up the requirements. And it's basically you have a license and it's never been revoked.
Yeah, so that's part of it. What we have in the proposed rules that went before the board and was agreed upon was that we would kind of make them the same between Cosmo and barbering. So right now we did talk about attending a school as a barber instructor. We did talk about at the board about them requiring 350 hours. So we did have it in rules, but we kind of wanted to put it in statute because it was in the Cosmo statutes, but not the barber statutes. So we can always go back and revise the rules if we need to based upon what this committee decides for the statute side. But that's all the requirements for, actually, I take that back. This is separate for barber instructor. Sorry, I've had so many changes, it's hard for me to keep them all straight.
Oh, sure. I can imagine.
Yeah, this is an application for barber instructor in our new rules. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so, I think, Frank, good recommendation. I think let's continue to be thoughtful about this, and because we want to make the right decision moving forward. We want it fair and equitable for the schools to be able to hire people. We want it also fair and equitable for people that want to become an educator, and we don't want it to be so burdensome that it takes them so long that they can't do it. I will say I am in the camp with Trista and Amy on the 1 year. I have found that to be plenty of time to be out there. You know, your best cosmetologist doesn't always make your best teacher. Just like your best salesperson doesn't make the best admissions manager. So, they can still be under a mentorship at the school as a new teacher. So I am in the camp of merging the barber side over to the cause side, Marshall and Brandon. But let's table this until the next meeting. And
just one thing to consider. So the barbers never had the 350 hour instructor requirement before, which is why I believe they had the 2 years experience. So that may also play into it for you guys to take into consideration.
Yes, Kelly, and that's the thing. Like I said, because I was having difficulties getting in. The that was my biggest concern previously was the fact it's not a 1 year, like for me, 1 year, 2 year, like trying to put a time frame on certain things, like, oh, it takes this long to do it. That's not my worry at all. The issue, because I'm in agreement that we are very shorthanded as far as on the instructor side. The thing that I just don't want to do is kind of like just open up the floodgates, because at one point that was kind of discussed, and then people, you know, everybody just, it went from, at one point, I think when I first got my instructor's license, I want to say there were maybe 10, let's say 12 schools at the time. And that was my main question, like, why do we not have enough instructors out here? But it was because they made everything so difficult. So I don't have a problem with, let me not say making it easier, but let's get more. I just don't want to end up with a bunch of, everybody wants to be an instructor now. And because we didn't have that 350 hours put in place before, it was literally 2 hours and you could challenge the board. And the way challenging the board went was just what was brought up earlier. Okay, you can, the process, it was almost like going back through barber school again. It wasn't on the instructor side. It was more so on just the, oh, do you know what to teach? And that's what started making stuff difficult, because you had people who, they knew how to pass the test. They knew how to cut hair, but they couldn't teach individuals how to become, they weren't educators. Let's just put it like that. So if, with that 300, actually, I had brought that up a while back. With that 350 hours put in there, what that does is kind of change things up a little bit for me. But the thing is, when we say, okay, you have to get 350 hours, who, what stipulations, like who's determining what goes into that 350 hours? That's my biggest concern.
So Amy just wrote, and I was thinking the same thing. I hate to pigeonhole schools, but if we add to the barber side 350 hours, and you must teach a prescribed curriculum. Milady does have a master educator program, and it's not about teaching how to cut and curl and give facials and do fades. It's about how to teach. So it would be appropriate for barbers. And so if there was a 350 hour requirement with a prescribed curriculum, that might help on your side. That way there's not such a barrier. You don't have to wait so long. And you know, it used to be 500 hours and they lowered it maybe 5 years ago, 6 years ago to 350. So how does that strike you?
Like I said, I'm just trying to break it down in my head. When we start talking 350 hours, basically we're saying just breaking down 40 hour week.
It's like 3.5 months.
Right. As long as they could pass that course. It's one of those, like I said, I'm really just on the fence. Because some people are great test takers, but not, you know what I mean? I'm not going to put that on us. At the end of the day, there definitely just needs to be, instead of just challenging the board, like I said, I'm in agreement with the 1 year, but minimum of, like I said, at least a 300, minimum 350 hours of a regulated program that says, hey, you know, okay, we know that, you know, whether it's the Miladies, okay, cool, you pass the Miladies. Even then, like having some, like, I know what you're saying, we're not trying to, I see it going both ways, like that. I see how it could go either way, but I just don't want us to end up with a bigger problem in the future. And then we're trying to come back and correct something that, you know, like I said, when we're dealing with trying to go back and make changes, is always going to be harder, because I'm like, well, it's already, you know, starting the process all over again. So just trying to prevent a headache in the future. That's all.
Yeah. I think Amy, that on the cause side of things, that this format is successful. Yeah.
It's very successful, especially for us. Right now, we currently have 3 enrolled student instructors. The thing is we've learned is a person can be weeded out from being in instruction within their 350 hours. They can actually decide they don't like it if they're actively in those classrooms teaching. We have them teaching every day after their required 40 hours. The other difference is barber requires, I think, 40 hours. We require cosmetology 80 hours before they can actually teach in the classroom. But that kind of shows them if they want to be in it. And I would love to provide a copy, if you guys would like, of the Master Educator. We use that here at Gateway as well. It's very successful for us. It literally teaches them how to deal with the student, how to deal with different personalities. And it's, again, nothing to do with particularly our trades.
Right. And I get it, exactly what Amy's saying. I think she's just it's similar like barbering. Like, she's in an institution where they have a great success rate. The only problem is when we start, everybody's not going to do what Gateway does or what Making the Cut does. There's going to be individuals out there who look at it as a money grab and a easy, you know what I mean? Like, they're going to try to cut corners. And of course, no matter what we do, there's going to be those people that are going to try to do that. I just want to make sure that, we're looking out for the best interest of the student when it comes to this instructor stuff. Cause I've seen great scenarios. Like, I know certain schools out there, I'm like, that's a great school to go to. And then there are other schools out there, when people come and tell me, I just shake my head and go, like, did you guys like go to a bunch of different schools? So some, you're going to have success rates for some schools, but then other schools, like I said, if it's working for Gateway, that shows that it can work. I just want to make sure that we don't put ourselves in a bag that it just opens up a can of worms later. That's all.
So I'm going to do what I typically do and stir the pot a little bit more. And Kelly, just, I saw what you added here, and I think we should, I really actually do think we should probably table this and really give some more thought to it, because the discussion is great, but I don't want us to make a decision today that we think more about. But my comment was actually going to be on what you just added, Kelly. We're actually never going to be able, and we shouldn't be this specific in statutory language. So we're probably going to have to say something more like a board approved program or something of that sort, and then we can decide and rule. But we can't. We shouldn't be that specific in statute as to what program we would approve. I did want to recognize we've been going for an hour at this point. Do we need a quick 5-minute break? Because I know it was a first thing in the morning meeting. We've all had probably a half a pot of coffee, or at least I have. But I'll leave it up to you, Kathy, if we want to take a quick break or if we want to continue for 30 minutes.
Sure. I think Frank needs a break. Let's.
If you guys are good to keep going, I can step out real fast.
Okay. Is everybody good? Because this, we only have till
10. Yeah, I'm fine. Right?
This was an hour and a half, and we spent a lot of time talking about this. So I can plow through. Brandon's like, let's go. Everyone's good. Okay. So let's go, we're going to table this. I don't think I need a vote. We're just going to table, 4A, B, C, and D, give us some thought, we can make a decision the next, meeting. So if we scroll down to number 5, and I apologize if you hear my lawn people in the back, they're doing our winter lawn so that it's really loud for me. I don't know if you can hear it. Okay, so number 5, the statute does not specify if the instructor license for barbering from other states are recognized as it does with cosmetology. And of course, yes, I think that we need to, the board recommends that the state, states that Arizona accepts under license from other states, just as it does with cosmetology license. So reciprocity, license to license. Any additional discussion on that? So number 5, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Great. Number 5, pass. Number 6, license expiration suspension. So the cause licenses are suspended after 10 years, barbers 5. Recommendation is to take it to 5 years. If they've been inactive, go ahead and suspend them. Any discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Great. Number 6, as do pass. All right, establishments, the inspection sheets, cause shops and salons, schools, everybody, were required to display the latest inspection sheet in a conspicuous location, and barbershops are not. And this is just to have those, all establishments are required to display the latest inspection sheets in a conspicuous location. Any thoughts on that? Seems pretty reasonable. Great. So all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? All right. Number, whatever that was, establishments number 1 passes. The license exam, barbershop licenses expire on June 30th of each year, and cosmetology licenses expire on the anniversary, and the board would recommend having it expire on the anniversary date that it was first licensed. Any discussion?
I have a few questions about that. Only because what is going to be the time frame for people getting on board with that? Because you're going to have, it's going to, just trying to think, you, when you say the anniversary, because then we're bouncing around. Me personally, I like a set date versus trying to remember, like I already got to remember 1 year for barber license, 1 year for instructor license. Then I have to remember school and shop license. One specific date, I feel like works better than, you know, trying to remember anniversary date. If you open up your shop on one day, then you got to school on another date, or you got this shop this date, then this shop over here on that date, then your license, it just becomes like a bunch of different dates trying to keep up with. And but with the other, on the flip side of that, we do have the new system that sends out notifications. So with that being said, then, you know, I guess it could go either way.
Kelly.
Yeah, so we're not going to change the schools. They would stay on June 30th. To your point, how would we implement this the next time this license comes up for renewal? All establishment licenses are every year on June 30th, right? So it would only affect the new establishments, because if people are already licensed or they're renewing on June 30th, so it would be new establishments. We will send out a 60-day, 30-day notification. Marshall, part of the rationale for this is when we have everybody come in at once for our staff, it's really hard to go through all of those applications and renewals all at once.
Gotcha. Sounds good.
And again, I think just to reiterate, the intention is, Marshall, if you were going to, or if I, like, I'll use myself as an example, if I was going to open a barber shop, which I'm not going to, but if I were going to, like, let's say on October 10th, and I got licensed on October 10th, as a new establishment, it would be October 10th. For your existing establishment, nothing changes.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, it was just, I know back in the day that used to be a huge issue, and then people forget, then we more stuff at barber board meetings. So I just want to make it as easy as possible. But like I said, before we didn't have that system that actually sent out emails to say, hey, you know, within the next 60 days, next 30 days, with that system, like I said, being implemented, I think it works out a lot better.
Okay, great. So all those in favor of making it the anniversary date, schools remain the same, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Great. So whatever that was, number two, license expiration passes. All right, schools and the inspections, all schools must pass an inspection before they open, but on the cause side, they can maybe inspected post-opening. That never happened to me. And as often as the board deems necessary, and the barbering statute just makes no mention of this. So this is just bringing barber schools into the fold on getting inspections. So any discussion on that?
So if, well, I'm trying to look at it real quick. So basically what it's saying is, can we go over that one more time?
All schools must pass an inspection before they open. Mm-hmm. So on the cosmetology side, I have three cosmetology schools, and before I opened, I had to have state board come in and inspect them and go down the list before I could open for business. Right. And then they do yearly inspections at the schools.
Right.
And so they could just show up at any time. Mm-hmm. And for the barber schools, there's nothing that's mentioned at all about getting the your inspection before you open, and there's nothing in there that says there can be random inspections.
Okay, yeah, because I think it's every two years, and it can be random. But like I said, I'm fine with the. So what we when they're going, in, what we're basically saying is at the shop, because I heard you say something about they can about post opening. For a, is this a shop or a school?
It's a school, Marshall. So. Okay. All schools on both sides do have to be inspected before they open. This right. is really about just saying that the board has the right to do inspections of schools on a regular basis as determined by the board after they open.
Got you. That's fine.
Yeah. So the barber schools would just need to know that they'll get inspected one or two times a year. Okay. Sorry, Marshall, did you want to say something else?
Nope, you're good.
Okay, so all those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? All right, school inspections passes. School equipment, the board is tasking with prescribed rules for equipment pertaining to non-barbering schools. However, barbering schools have strict statutory requirements requiring them to provide separate lecture rooms or classrooms, locker space for students, and an area appropriate size for placing the equipment. I'll read that again, but require all schools to contain sufficient equipment, okay, as prescribed by the board. So I think the difference here, well, Kelly, you go ahead, because I think I know what you mean, but you're the master of these, so why don't you go ahead and speak?
Yeah, that's okay. There were very specific requirements in the barbering statutes versus the rules about exactly what they had to do. Again, separate lecture rooms, classrooms, locker spaces, that type of thing. Our only recommendation is saying that schools have to have sufficient equipment, and we would list.
Oh, we lost you, Kelly. I don't know what happened. Internet. She's going to log out and log back in.
Yeah, she's coming back.
No, oh, here she goes. Nope.
You need to unmute, Kelly. There you go.
There we go.
It's a Friday before a three-day weekend for us. Sorry, so what I was trying to say is the statutes are very specific. What this allows us to do is we just say it has to be sufficient equipment. We'll do that in the rules. We'll specify that in the rules. It also allows us to make more frequent changes if we need in the rules to keep up with schools versus trying to change statute, which has to go through the legislature. So right now it was very specific to classroom size and lockers and this and that. We're still gonna have that they have to have things for students. So that's not changing. It's just allowing us to put the details in the rules.
All right, any other discussion? It makes sense for everybody?
Sounds good.
Okay, great. So all those in favor of school equipment, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, school equipment passes. I think this one's going to have some conversation. Separation of schools from other businesses. Only the cause statutes reference that schools may not include a salon inside the school. Board recommendation statute to read, a school of any type may include programs related to a subject that the board licenses but may not include an establishment. A school may offer and sell related products and articles. So I think, well, Kelly, you go ahead.
Yeah, I have to be honest, I'm not as familiar with what schools have. So this does not change that students could offer services to the public. It just says you can't have a separate kind of salon, an establishment in the school is really, I think, what this is clarifying.
Yeah, so Brian and Marshall, you can fill us in, but I know that I've toured my students at some barber schools in the past, and they were barber shops with the school in the back. And so that's, I figured that this would be a point of discussion, especially for you all.
Yes, well, there are multiple barber schools out there that do have, and that's the thing when he's trying to think of how to break it down. Because me, myself, like I said, I have a 3,600 square foot building, but they're different. It's two different suites, right? So technically, we're in the same, I guess, think of like a strip mall. We're in the same building, technically, but we have the, you know what I mean? There's a divider set up. So that's where you're kind of, on the barbering side, where it's kind of like, okay, so what are we saying? Because the way from what Kelly just read is basically saying like 2-1, where it's a school. How can I put it? Like you're in, let's just take a retail suite. You're saying this area over here is school, and then this area over here is like salon or shop. In situations like that, I understand what they're saying. But the way it was written before, because that used to be an issue on the barber side, where it was as long as you had a something like a door or there was some type of divider, then that's what justified it being two separate businesses. But if it's everything just in one open space, they were saying that was insufficient. You couldn't do that.
Okay. So I'm going to lean on you, Brandon and Marshall, about this, because Cosmo schools have always, you couldn't have a salon, you know, I'm not a cosmetologist, but I couldn't have Kathy's salon, you know, operating over here and then have classrooms over here. So we've always been like that. So I want to make sure that you feel heard on this and that you think that this is okay.
I mean, as long as we have, is there any way to put, like I said before, I know on the barber side, they weren't very specific, and that's where it was kind of like a unwritten rule, like, oh, well, you're grandfathered in, depending on, it would all came down to your actual setup for your building. But is there any way to, like, because once again, like say you run into the specification of like what is considered in the same building.
Yeah. What's the stuff? Is it a wall, a full wall separation? If you're in two separate suites and each suite is licensed differently, they're just next door to each other. It's convenient.
Right. Well, the current outlay of my school, it's almost like a shotgun building, if that makes sense, like a more of a rectangular building. But we have, like, when the fire marshal comes in, it's set up as two different businesses. So up front is a shop, but then you have to go like through a hallway, through another door, and then on the back half, it's a school. So it's like they're separated, like even with the postal service, like suite A and suite B. But technically, according to how we're finna try to change everything, technically we're still in the same building. So that's there are a lot of, like I said, schools out there that are similar to that. So just trying to make sure that, you know, we set it up so that, like, whether we put in there has to be divided suites or some terminology in there to where, you know, it doesn't throw people, because then you're going to run into people saying, or are you going to grandfather the schools and shops that are in, that already established, saying, well, they're already grandfathered in, or how do we handle that?
So I was doing a quick cursory review of former barber statutes. There is no mention of this whatsoever. There actually is no mention of it in our rules either, about any kind of separation on the barber side or on the Cosmo side. And I think that's just because on the Cosmo side, it was already in statute. So we would either need to make the statute the same or be able to say, we would clarify this in the rules, I think. And since the rules are already out for public comment, it might have to go into the next revision of rules. So I don't know if you guys want to table this for today, yeah, and we can kind of think of our options.
Yeah, I definitely think this one needs to be tabled. Me personally, I'm not as familiar on the barber side. I just know that that's been a practice where they are definitely together. And so I don't think anyone's trying to, you know, force somebody to get a new building or go pay for construction or anything like that. So we want to make sure that this is fair for all the barber schools that have been out there for a long time. So let's table number three, under school separation of schools from other businesses, and let's kind of dig into this a little bit more and figure out the best way to proceed. So we don't have much time left. We got three more to get through. So regulations, confidentiality. The barbering statute does not currently have a confidentiality section, while the cause does. Board recommendation is just apply confidentiality to all license types. That makes sense to me. Any discussion? All right, all those in favor of under regulations number one, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Great, passes. Civil penalties. According to the barbering statute, the board may impose a civil penalty in the amount not to exceed $500, but on the Cosmos side, it can be $2,000. So the board recommendation is to make the two congruent and allow the board to impose a civil penalty in the amount not to exceed $2,000, which I don't know. Not that I go to board meetings regularly, but I don't know that I've seen, maybe there has been. So
this is really, I want to give a little extra context here. And actually Brandon and Marshall and Trista, you've seen this very recently, actually, I think just this last board meeting, or maybe it was two board meetings ago, where there was some pretty egregious health and safety concerns relating to a barber shop in a rural community, actually. And the board really was wanting to do something more, and they couldn't. They were handcuffed by the statute. So that to say, what will happen is if we can get consensus here on the dollar amount now, get this into statute, then there would be a conversation with the board about adjusting the board parameters for what civil penalties would be issued at what dollar amount. So the most egregious would be at that highest amount. And actually, I don't even think there's a board parameter right now. I don't think there's an existing board parameter that has a $2,000 civil penalty. This is truly about just getting it to consistent language for now, so that then the board can have a conversation about where they want to see those parameters when there are the egregious health and safety violations.
Yeah, makes sense. Any discussion? Okay. All those in favor of this number two civil penalties say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, great. Civil penalties passes. And number three, refusal to issue license and disciplinary action. Below are the reasons why the board may refuse to issue a license to an individual, may decide to issue disciplinary actions. And I, you know, hopefully you guys looked at this. I did have one question. Where is it? Well, as we go through there, it looks like if we just go through and look at the ones that are not the same, does that make sense? Operate a shop or salon unless it is under the direct supervision of a barber. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, so these, oh, I have the check marks on.
That's below this one's first, Kathy. And then The check marks are next, yep.
I'm just gonna read off yours because I'm lost on my paperwork. Okay, so below are reasons. Barber and cosmetology, so refuse to issue a license, malpractice or incompetency. It's the same on both sides. These ones are making false statements, false advertising, violation of rules, continue to practice while knowingly having an infectious disease. And okay, so these two are not congruent. Is that what I'm seeing? D&E. So on the barber side, I think the barber's on the left, conviction of a crime. This comes up in a lot of states. Thank you. A conviction of a crime or act shall not be a cause of refusal to issue or renew a license or registration unless the crime or act is substantially related to the qualifications, function, or duties. So this is the board recommendation. Yeah, good. Thank you for that. Any discussion on that? I think that makes sense. Yes, Mr. Frank. Nope, you're good. Okay.
I had a question on this. on some of the penalties or some of the criteria that would fall into this subject. Would like a child defender, so, you know, somebody like that, would that fall into this category? Or would that need to be added to it? Or no, somebody that's not supposed to be around kids?
Yeah, that's a great question, Brandon. We don't currently have that. Sorry if you can't hear me. We do not currently have that in statute. The only reason would be, so they could be convicted of some other crime. The only one that refuses us to license them is if the crime is related to barbering or cosmetology and all of that side. But to your point, I know that we've had not child abuse offenders, but we have had people complaints about people being sexually inappropriate with clients that have come to the board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
if you can see about adding that somehow, some way to criteria, that'd be very crucial. I've came across it, and I think it needs to be known for the public and for owners to know, or barbershop owners and cosmetologists, you know, to know that what type of people they're hiring. So if that shouldn't be, you know, tolerable in any business, especially, you know, dealing with kids where they got access to them.
I might, Brandon, so here's my recommendation. We might want to table this so I can reach out to our assistant attorney general just to see what that language might sound like and if that's something that we're legally able to do. And I can come back to the next meeting with that information.
Yeah, awesome. I agree. You. I have a state relations guy at AACS, and I do know other states do have restrictions on people with felonies. I could probably get my hands on some language as well to see how deep it goes. There is a push across the country to, you know, the reentering workforce, but I still think that because this is a hands-on, you're touching people, we have to be smart about this. So yeah, let's definitely table that particular conviction of a crime. Just kind of the whole thing there. Yeah. Frank.
So I think that's a great idea, and my clock literally just turned over to 10:30. So I think at this point, we've got three items that have been tabled. One of them was a pretty big discussion point, so I would strongly recommend that, you know, folks give some thought to that. This was emailed out to all of you last week. And then we have, I think there's just, by my review, there's only one more that we have not reviewed today. So I think we can get through those three items that were now tabled, plus number four, the unlawful acts, at our next meeting, which is scheduled on Monday, October 6th, also at 9 a.m. I will send out that reminder to everyone and the information for joining the meeting. I think this is very productive, nicely done. It's great to have members of the industry in particular, as well as our public members, to have this discussion. It's really great for us as staff. So I really appreciate that. And I think Kelly just sent a question in chat. Would everybody, why don't we just go ahead and do that, Kelly? We'll send out this updated document to everybody. Kelly, you'll do that today. Kelly will get that out to everybody today so that you know where we're at. And then we'll go from there. At this point, from an agenda standpoint, we just need to adjourn. So Kathy, would you like to?
Yeah, can I have a motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn.
Do I have a second?
I second that.
I would just add that we are adjourning at 10:32 for the meeting record.
All right. This was great. I appreciate meeting all of you. Thank you so much. And we'll see you on October 23rd.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye.